Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
A factual data creation facility production. Welcome to the OFNT Podcast, episode 241, which I'm calling Next to Last. Yeah, we have an appointment with the movers on November 6th, finally. We're looking forward to the move. There's only one more episode to be recorded here after this one. We're heading down to Tennessee tomorrow with the last load of essentials before the final drive down. I'll miss things about New York, but I know it's time to say goodbye to the Big Apple. Too many people, too much crime, and too many expenses have all contributed to driving us out. Anyway, I think we should get started here now. What do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Before I start, I have a correction. In the last episode, I said that the new monthly subscription price for Disney Plus is $9.99.
What?
Well, that doesn't make any sense, now does it?
No.
No.
Of course, what I meant to say was $9.99.
No!
Tech news. Well, it's all Apple news this week, save for one item.
Aww.
I know, the giant fruit company seems to hog up the news feeds every single week. Well, things were quiet, and this is a unusually short tech news section. But hopefully all that changes after this upcoming week. Though Apple analyst and forecaster supreme Mark Gurman was still predicting an Apple event this month after the press release of the iPad mini as of late Tuesday of last week, we have the following headline from 9 to 5 Mac. Quote, Apple confirms exciting week of announcements for Mac starting Monday, unquote.
What?
And it's not even a Halloween event this year.
Aww.
Even I thought that Apple would put something together for the announcements of new Macs, though I suggested that they could do it by press release alone. Well, it seems Apple has taken my advice. What we will have is staggered announcements for the MacBook Pro, iMac, Mac Mini, and probably a USB-C equipped Magic keyboard, mouse, and trackpad. This will make the entire Apple catalog of devices USB-C equipped and be the end of the Lightning cable. As far as the Macs go, besides being equipped with the new M4 chip, they'll all be coming standard with 16 gigs of RAM.
Yay!
And it's about time, and that's all in order to run Apple Intelligence. Except for the Mac Mini, that'll be as far as its features go. The Mac Mini, which I'm the most interested in, we'll get a complete redesign, making the chassis much smaller. If the leak renders are close to correct, the new Mini will be slightly larger than the current Apple TV streaming box, though a bit taller. If prices don't increase too much, I'm considering eventually trading in my one-year-old M2 Mac Mini for one. I'd go for the M4 Pro chip this time for future-proofing sakes. Are you considering any of these new M4 Macs? Continuing with 9to5Mac.com, the headline reads, quote, iOS 18.1 upgrades business messaging with RCS support, unquote. iOS 18.1 will be released for everybody this coming week and bring RCS messaging with it. I'm using the iOS 18.1 beta, and I can tell you that Apple's version of RCS for non-business messaging is bare bones at the moment. No real iMessage features and no end-to-end encryption is currently implemented while Apple awaits for standards from the RCS board. I know Apple would like to have its own standards to be the official standards, but I believe Google's take on RCS will win out. That's because Google has had a head start of years with RCS, and many OEMs have adopted the Big G's messaging app as standard. Well played, Google. Well played. I didn't even remember Apple ever announcing Messages for Business, which aims to replace those annoying chat interfaces on companies' web pages. I don't think many businesses took advantage of the feature, if any of them did. This little blip of a feature being RCS-enabled now might just change that. You know, time will tell. From 9to5Mac.com, again, quote, PSA, new hearing health features for AirPods Pro 2 won't be available worldwide, unquote. While this new hearing aid type feature will be available in more than 100 countries upon release, the hearing protection part of it will only be available in the United States and Canada upon release. You know, I figured that feature would be available while the hearing aid part would be delayed, pending local government regulatory approval.
Wrong.
No, dear, that's wrong.
Okay, I get it. I describe my experience with the hearing aid feature in the Tech I'm Using section. Macworld.com. See, I do read other websites besides 9to5Mac.com. Has an opinion piece headlined with, quote, the new iPad mini is only boring because the next model will be amazing, unquote. Of course, this goes against my opinion of the iPad mini from last week. Well, not just against it, but quite the opposite. The author of the article posits that the beloved by some new mini iPad was equipped with the binned version of the A17 Pro chip because Apple wanted to save money. Duh. And that once they run out of the discontinued A17, they'll be releasing a new pro-level iPad mini.
No.
The author goes on to predict that this new iPad mini will have an OLED screen, and not just any OLED screen. He thinks that it'll be a ProMotion screen. That's the same type of 120Hz refresh rate screen, which currently equips iPhones and iPad Pros these days. I think this is wishful thinking, or perhaps clickbait thinking, on the author's part. I haven't made up my mind on that. Okay, it took Apple 3 years to update the iPad mini, and all they managed to give it was a very minor update. Basically just the chip and RAM were upgraded. I think the only reason Apple even bothered to update the iPad mini is because they want it to be able to run Apple Intelligence, and also pacify a small but vocal user base for now. I think Apple looks at the iPad mini as an Amazon Kindle competitor, but the Apple has been slowly getting out of the ebook business, laying off the company's publishing team earlier in the year. As I stated before, in my personal experience with the mini, having owned two of them in the past and both were equipped with keyboards, once iPhones got big and the advent of apps being available via the web, I had no use for an iPad mini-sized device. Now, if the iPad mini cost a couple $100, yeah, I could see using one for reading ebooks and for looking up stuff while watching television or something. But the iPad mini starts at close to $500, and that's not within impulse buying parameters, at least mine. Why would someone want an iPad mini Pro that would set you back close to a grand when you can just get an iPad Air or the smaller of the Pros for a little bit more? Unlike the author of this article, I think when Apple gets through its supply of defective A17 Pro chips, either they will cease production of the Mini or rush out another version based on another bin chip. In my opinion, the iPad Mini will go the way of the iPhone Mini. A Pro iPad Mini? Not happening. The iPad Mini will probably survive in the form of being the chassis and screen of Apple's rumored upcoming Amazon Echo competitor. Well, Android 15 is right around the corner, but hardcore users of the world's largest mobile operating system seem disappointed. Well, at least according to the Intertubes. Beta users are claiming that not much has changed, and things that have are more iOS-like.
No!
This all mirrors what I've been reading about Android over the past year. While iOS seems to be adopting Android-like features and user interface cues from Android, it appears we are moving towards a standardized, homogeneous experience in mobile operating systems. Like I've said previously, eventually we could wind up with an iPhone with a Google or Samsung logo on it, or an Android phone with an Apple logo on it. At least this could open up space for a third option. The only possible contender on the horizon is Huawei's Harmony OS, which was supposedly completely rewritten with its own kernel. Even without the OS baked-in ads that are there for Chinese users, the app selection, which is fine for the company's domestic users, wouldn't do so well elsewhere. Basically, all you need for the Chinese market is WeChat, which is really an operating system disguised as a super app. The Western version of WeChat will eventually be the former Twitter app, Elon Musk's X, and then only if Mr. Musk successfully gets banking authorization for it. This might explain the richest man in the world's sudden affinity for a certain political candidate.
Yes.
I wish Microsoft would give it another whack with a revamped Windows phone, but you knew I was going to suggest that, didn't you?
Yes.
I feel Microsoft's current management, though regretful that the company isn't in the mobile operating system game any longer, doesn't have the vision or courage to attempt such a re-entry. In a perfect world, I would like to see Nokia get back in with a new Symbian operating system.
What?
Yeah, what are the odds of that happening? I'd say slim to none. Memories of my Nokia Symbian days were the best I had in my mobile computing experience and the most exciting. Nokia had the best community around it, in my opinion, which stretched worldwide. I recall one afternoon answering a message via the old Nokia Messenger from somewhere in Africa. The person just wanted to test it out and was very grateful for my response as we didn't know each other. That's the way it was within that community, people helping each other. After Nokia folded Symbian and then the Windows Phone debacle, most old Symbian hands moved over to Android, with a few, like myself, eventually settling on iOS. Tech I'm using. I've been using my new Aura Ring Generation 4 for about a week now, so here is my short-term review. The ring arrives within Apple-esque packaging, which has been standard since at least Generation 2 of the ring. I never had the first generation, so I don't know if it's been that way since the beginning. After pulling two tabs to unseal the box, you lift off the top half, and you're presented with the ring placed upon its charger. Lifting off that section, you have your user's manual and a USB-C to USB-C cable. The Generation 3 was equipped with a USB-A to USB-C cable, and I kind of wish that was still the case, as most of my wall chargers I use to augment my outlets still have the USB-A slots. Not to worry, though. The new place has USB-C chargers throughout the house. The charger itself is now made from aluminum, an upgrade from the plastic charger of previous models. Though we're talking grams here, the Generation 4 Aura Ring seems much lighter than the other generations. Once you slip the ring onto your finger, you find that the recessed sensors really do make wearing this tiny piece of high-tech more comfortable. The only complaint I have with the new design, and it's a very small one, is that instead of a front side that was flattened like on the older models, which told you which way was to be worn forward, you now have a small notch, and by small I mean almost undetectable, which you place facing the palm side of your hand to ensure those sensors are aligned correctly on your finger. As reviewers have stated, the ring does take a long time to charge up initially compared to the older versions. It took about 2 hours to fully charge my ring. However, I have found that once fully charged, the battery lasts longer and topping off the charge takes a lot less time. Before pairing the new ring, you're required to first back up your data from the ring it's replacing, then resetting the old ring and finally deleting it from your Aura account and unpairing Bluetooth from within your phone's settings. Once that process is accomplished, pairing the new ring is a breeze. From within the Aura app, you select Pair New Ring. Place your ring on its charger and follow instructions. A firmware update will load up, which takes about a minute to install, and then your ring is ready for wear. If done right, all your previous data will be transferred from your old model ring. True to their word, my lifetime membership Aura account transferred along with my data over to my new ring.
Yeah!
First-time users or those that didn't jump on the offer of a lifetime subscription will get a 30-day free trial. then have to pony up either $5.99 monthly or $69.99 annually in order to access all the features of the Aura app. And let's face it, without those features, there's just no point in using the Aura Ring.
No.
This is probably the biggest thing stopping Aura from totally dominating the smart ring market like it once did. Back then, its only competition was the ill-fated Motive Ring, which my son purchased for me and I loved. Motive was bought by a digital authentication company and stopped selling its product to the public. Just before the sale, Motive introduced a feature that measured the gait of your walk, imagine that, and that could be used for personal authentication for access to areas or computers. Just because I could, I set this up on my personal Motive Ring. Like Windows Phone before it, my beloved Motive Ring is no more. But that was back then. These days, Aura has plenty of competition from startups mainly, but of course, Samsung has recently thrown its hat into the ring. Hey, you see what I did there?
Yes.
And Samsung isn't charging a subscription fee, though the company says it may do so in the future. As of now, Aura's offerings are still top of the heap, eclipsing even Samsung in regards to features. However, Aura should be looking over their shoulder, and that's because a certain giant fruit company from sunny California certainly has a bunch of prototype smart rings buried deep within its research labs, just waiting for the right moment to enter the market. Apple, who like Google loves to, air quotes, borrow features from other tech companies, has already borrowed Aura's sleep tracking software for the Apple Watch. I mean, it looks like a carbon copy of it. Once Apple enters this market, well, all bets are off. Hopefully, Aura can survive. Okay, back to my review. Aura says that its new sensors are more accurate, and in my experience, that seems to be true. Previously, there were always gaps in my data, especially my sleep data. But so far, that doesn't seem to be the case now. Since switching, there are no gaps in any of my health data. All in all, though the upgrade is kind of small, I'm happy with my purchase of the Aura Ring 4th generation. Besides, not having to pay for a subscription ever makes it even better. Aura needs to figure out a way to either lower the subscription cost or perhaps make the lifetime free subscription offer again. Maybe for those upgrading from the Aura 3 to the future Generation 5 ring, which should be announced in a couple of years. If Apple does indeed enter the smart ring fray, which would be the only thing that would tempt me to switch, they'll have to have some real revolutionary feature or features to lure me away from the Aura smart ring ecosystem. Well, as everybody knows by now, Apple has released the iOS 18.1 release candidate for beta testers, and that was on last Tuesday. And of course, I downloaded it. The only new feature I was eager to test was the now U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved hearing aid feature.
What?
Yeah, exactly. I've made many a reference here regarding what I felt was my failing hearing abilities. After updating, I promptly put on my AirPods Pro version 2s and found them in my iPhone's settings, scrolled down to hearing test, and gave it a spin. After running a test to see if my earbuds were fitted properly, which for once they were, I started the test. Actually, I should say, I tried to start the test. The problem I had was trying to find a quiet enough place to start taking that test. I live outside New York City in what was once a quiet suburb. Well, that's not the case these days. Because of the building of numerous apartment complexes, businesses to support them, and trucks to support bringing supplies to everybody, unless it's the dead of night, there's constant noise. After finally finding a suitable place, I started my test. The test was interrupted a few times by passing semi-trucks, but I managed to get through it. Basically, you're given a set of tones to hear, starting with your left ear. If you can hear the tone, you tap your phone screen. While taking this test, I didn't feel like I was tapping enough and dreaded the result I would get. Surprisingly, the results weren't as bad as I had feared. The hearing test app reported a slight hearing loss and promised to help me out by boosting the frequencies I needed help with. I spent the bulk of Tuesday walking around with my AirPods Pro in my ears to see if the new feature in fact helped. I've known since my military retirement physical back in 1995 that I had high-frequency hearing loss, and that's exactly what Apple software promises to boost. I can now hear the old wooden floorboards in my house creaking even more so than before, which I kind of find irritating. Sounds like clothing swishing as the material rubs against itself are now annoyingly apparent. Podcasts that employ the so-called modern sound, which I attempt to emulate in my own podcast, are now fatiguing to listen to. Speaking of which, I compared podcast episodes using my now enhanced hearing. First, I compared the VEA plugin I used for the last episode to the one before it, which used my standard post-production without the hearing correction. The VEA-coded episode sounded dull and had a distorted high end. The old processing method sounded clearer and had more of a sparkle. I preferred the latter. With the hearing enhancement on, the opposite was true. Gone were the distorted high end and overall dullnesses, though clarity was still a bit better on the non-VEA episode. That's something I can correct easily, though. The episode produced using the old method was still good, but overall wasn't as good as the VEA produced episode. You probably couldn't tell much of a difference.
No.
Now I'm left wondering if perhaps Apple's hearing aid function is not correct. Then what? Another thing is when you're actually talking, it doesn't sound natural. It's as if you're wearing a thin plastic drinking cup over each ear. At least now I can justify the purchase of new AirPods Pro 3s to see if this feature is somehow improved.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Did you know that in Ohio, the state Supreme Court could just ignore the Reproductive Rights Amendment we passed last year?
But so many Ohioans voted for it.
That's why we need to keep extremists out of the court by voting for Justices Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
I don't know if I can remember that.
Here's the trick. Just remember, don't stop fighting. DSF. Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes. If you supported Issue 1 last year, don't stop fighting. Vote for Donnelly, Stewart, and Forbes.
This message was paid for by Red, Wine, and Blue.
Entertainment news. Well, the only news I have here is from an article on AppleInsider.com announcing that Disney apps like Disney Plus are no longer available to subscribe to using the Apple App Store. You'll now have to pay Disney directly for that honor. This, of course, is to avoid paying Apple its 30% cut, which is fine, but could have an effect on app performance. This only affects new subscribers, not current subscribers. I think Steve Jobs was correct way back in 2007 that web apps were the way to go. But then again, what do I know? I'm just an old geezer with a microphone and too much time on my hands. Podcast news. In the last episode, I asked if you could let me know if you prefer the new VEA or VIA plugin I used for that episode's audio over the previous episode's audio. Well, I received exactly zero replies, which leaves me to believe that it all sounds the same to you. So, no more asking for audience participation from this kid. I'll be sticking with the VEA plugin once I'm settled down in Tennessee. My mono, that's the pronunciation I'm sticking with, it's spelled M-A-O-N-O, which I'm assuming is a play on the word mono, microphone boom arm is a joy to use. For the first time, I can easily move the mic to my position while recording, instead of me having to move to the mic's position. The arm was super easy to assemble and held the weight of the Electrovoice RE20 mic easily. That mic is considered a heavyweight in the mic industry, both in audio reputation and actual weight. The OFNT podcast's 5th anniversary is coming up on the 31st, which is Halloween, and no, I have no plans for anything special. I remember having to pause recording that short, sloppy, inaugural episode, having to stop every now and then in order to give candy to the trick-or-treaters. I debate deleting that episode every now and again because it's just that embarrassing. I didn't know a thing about editing, and I hadn't figured out how to reduce background noises yet. I was using Apple's GarageBand software as the digital audio workstation, a Focusrite Scarlett 2i2 audio interface, and a Samsung Q2U microphone. All that was feeding into my old 2015 iMac. The choices available to beginning podcasters these days compared to then is incredible. Back then, the Blue Yeti ruled the podcasting world, which probably ruined many a budding podcaster's dream of becoming the next Joe Rogan. The Yeti was the first mic I purchased, but I quickly discarded it because it picked up sounds from everywhere, making any audio recorded with it unusable. My competition at that time were mainly veteran independent podcasters, who used Logic Pro as their digital audio workstation, the same Scarlett 2i2 interface that I used, better XLR cables, and the Heil PR40 dynamic microphone, along with some sort of channel strip in order to reduce noise and enhance the audio of their podcast. This was just before the podcasting explosion, which saw the rise of Podcasting Incorporated. I then switched mics to a Rode Procaster, which required a signal booster, in my case a FET head, and that was in order to get a decent signal level into the interface. You know, I never liked the sound of my voice on the Procaster, so I switched to a Electrovoice RE320. Besides being easier for my audio interface to drive, it boosted the high ends, which took the dullness I had heard with the Procaster away. Later, I added a Motu M2 audio interface and an analog DBX 286S channel strip, and this allowed me to add compression. The DBX also had a noise gate and a de-esser, which improved the audio quality immensely. Digital plugins were still expensive back then. I did use a couple of cheap Behringer units for a bit, but they ran so hot that I was afraid that they would melt. Around this time, I switched out my digital audio workstation for Hindenburg, which is still the best for podcasters. I still use Hindenburg as my digital audio workstation. But now I use a Lewitt Connect 6 as my audio interface, which replicates most of the features of the DBX unit, but in a smaller package. I run expensive Mogami XLR cables into my classic Electrovoice RE20 microphone. Of course, I feed everything into a Mac Mini these days. I have an arsenal of digital plugins to call on if needed. I feel I'm set as far as gear goes now. That is, unless Lewitt or some other company comes out with a groundbreaking audio interface in the future, well, then I might be tempted. Then again, I do have my eye on a Rodecaster Duo audio interface for the future. Well, I decided to cancel my subscription to the Castomatic podcast listening app. The app still won't open on my iPhone even after 2 app updates. Now, I want to have a podcasting 2.0 compliant app on hand, but I've had problems with every one I've tried. While perusing a recent podnews.net newsletter, I came upon a short blip about a new podcast listening app called Metacast, who are reducing their yearly subscription price from $24 per year to $9 per year. I downloaded Metacast and was impressed with what I saw. The UI is as nice as Podcast Guru's, but more intuitive. Metacast also has the snappiest responses I've ever experienced with any app. What it lacked was features, and I wondered if it would follow Podcasting 2.0 guidelines. Well, I emailed a dev about this and received a response the next day. The email said that they were going to be constantly adding features to the app over the upcoming months, and they were all in on Podcasting 2.0.
Yay! Yay!
If this remains true, I think I've found my new podcast listening app. I did do a yearly subscription, and I'm hoping for the best. Again, time will tell. Finally, the Mighty Joe Rogan Experience podcast, one of the, if not the biggest podcasts in the world, booked none other than former President Donald Trump.
You are fake news.
No, you are.
No, I beat China all the time.
No, you didn't, at least not yet. Who's fake news now?
You're fired.
I'm not fired. I quit. Anyway, Donald Trump was booked as a guest on a Joe Rogan podcast. And that's a big get for Mr. Rogan and sort of a gamble for Mr. Trump. I mean, the interview can go sideways on him. Mr. Trump is really hungry to get back into the White House, it seems.
Yes.
I wonder if Mr. Rogan will try and get Trump to smoke some marijuana with him. I also wonder if the former president will accept. Now you gotta hand it to Joe Rogan. He helms one of the largest and most influential podcasts in history. He has no journalistic training and does it all with a staff of two, just him and a guy named Jamie. Compare his success to that of This American Life podcast, which, as I reported on in the last episode, the show has a staff of 36 and can't even pull in a quarter of the ratings Rogan does. Well, that's the difference between someone who came out of Podcasting Incorporated and one who came from independent podcasting. Trump's competitor in the race for president, Kamala Harris, declined to go on Rogan's podcast, citing a busy schedule.
Okay.
Social media seems to have the opinion that Ms. Harris wouldn't make it through a 3-hour interview without saying something that might further damage her campaign. And anyway, who would want to listen to a podcast where the person would do nothing but blame her opponent for every problem that exists, and all the while calling him every derogatory word that ends in "-ist," so far created? As of the time of this recording, which is early afternoon on Saturday, October 26th, Joe Rogan's Trump episode has over 13 million views on YouTube. Now, I don't know how many have watched the episode on Spotify or how many have listened to the audio-only version, but the total numbers on this have to be astronomical. In my opinion, this podcast episode further rings the death knell for corporate media within the United States. Well, the music is playing in this next-to-last episode of the OFNT podcast to be recorded here in New York. It's just about over. I'll be back next week at my usual Sunday time. That'll wrap up 5 years I've been recording this direct from here. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com. And that's if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Well, I have a long drive coming up tomorrow and need to get some rest now. So get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.